Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Giants Talk Podcast. I am your host, GT. Why don't we jump right in with the scores from Week 6 in the NFL. To start off with, we had the Chargers beating the Broncos 21-13. The Browns losing a close one 28-26 to the Titans. The Redskins hand the Eagles their second loss in a row 27-20. The Bears lose a close one to the Jaguars 17-16. The Saints outlast the Panthers 41-38. The Dolphins double up the Steelers 30-15. The Patriots nearly do the same to the Bengals 35-17. The Bills, oh, big winners over the 49ers 45-16. The Lions 31-28 winners over the Rams. The Chiefs 26-10 over the Raiders. The Cowboys pick up a fifth win 30-16 over the Packers. The Falcons losing a close one to the Seahawks 26-24. The Texans outlast the Colts 26-23, and the Cardinals take care of the Jets at 28-3. And of course, in the game that I've already talked to in a small amount on that last gut check, the Giants managed to hold off on the Ravens 27-23. Yeah, moving into some of the bigger news in the NFL this week. In Monday Night Football, Ryan Fitzpatrick had to be replaced by Geno Smith as he tosses his 11th interception of the year. Big Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's going to miss some time, though it's to be determined, with a meniscus tear and surgery to follow. It looks like Colin Kaepernick is going to keep the starting gig even during their abysmal performance against the Bills. And the NFL looks to review Vontaze Burfict's supposed dirty hit on Martellus Bennett. Now, of course, moving into the game that you all tuned in to listen to for my discussion on, the Giants versus the Ravens. Well, my first thing, as I said during the gut check, you have to hand it to the Giants. It was a dirty, sloppy, ugly game, but they did manage to beat two teams this time. Considering that the officiating in this game, even from Ravens fans that I've spoken to, even they would agree, the officiating in this game was awful. It was just downright pathetic. But before I get into my complaints, why don't I get into a little bit of the good news that we have coming out of this game. Eli Manning gets his 301st touchdown of his career. Seven other quarterbacks in NFL history have been able to reach that level, and he has actually just overtaken John Elway for the most touchdown passes thrown. He's taken the number 7 spot there. This is also his 100th career win, not counting the postseason. In that game, we saw Odell Beckham Jr. just pop off. 8 catches, 222 yards, and 2 touchdowns, making him the second best in Giants history. Unfortunately, on the other side of that, we also saw some mighty struggles again from the offensive line and from the running game. Rashad Jennings gets only 15 yards on 9 carries, and he was the leader in all carries for the Giants, who managed an incredibly small 38 yards on the ground. Now, granted, the Ravens do have the number 4 defense against the run in the league, but that is abysmal, especially considering Ereck Flowers once again gave up yet another sack to a defense on Eli Manning. Let's see what else we have. Of course, we have to stop for just a moment and laugh a little bit along with Odell Beckham Jr. There are reports out now that Ben McAdoo and Eli Manning are a little fed up with some of Odell Beckham Jr.'s quote-unquote antics on the field. But after his touchdown, he did run over and propose to the kicking net that he has it's been kind of his throughput throughout this entire season so far, which was, of course, it was funny. The nice thing was to see that after the game, when asked about everything that has been going on, the first thing Odell Beckham Jr. did was he gave all praise to God and then complimented Eli Manning for his game and how he... Now, so again, looking back at that, the offense in terms of the receiving core did a very good job, though I'm not sure what Larry Donnell was thinking. Late in the fourth quarter, the Giants had a 3rd-and-7, I believe it was, to go, And instead of, after catching the pass and rumbling forward for a couple of yards, instead of continuing to force his way forward for one more yard to ensure a first down, for some reason Larry Donnell decided to step out of bounds, almost a reverse Terrence Williams from week one. However, of course, the very next play was a 67-yard touchdown strike to Odell Beckham Jr. that sealed the game. But it makes you wonder a little bit what Donnell was thinking. I mean, it was his first game back from injury. He may be still a little rusty, maybe didn't quite realize how far he was away from the sticks. But that's not a mistake that you want to see made very often. Because unfortunately, in a game like that where you're down and you can't settle for a field goal, yeah, you can't make mistakes like that. Mistakes like that cost games. Now, speaking of that really quick, because I did mention, of course, already the offensive line woes and the running back woes, something else to look at here, and this is going to move me into the poor officiating aspect of this game before I get into the defense and special teams. Odell Beckham Jr., and some noise has been made about the flag that he received for unsportsmanlike conduct for taking his helmet off after his touchdown pass. That, you know, that was the final score of the game. However, there's a major problem with this. And this, like I said, this leads me to the poor officiating. Odell Beckham Jr. was no longer on the field of play. He had run all the way through the end zone, through the out-of-bounds markers, and was standing off the field before he took his helmet off to celebrate with some of the members of the crowd. That by itself means that it's no longer unsportsmanlike for taking the helmet off. The taking of the helmet off is only on the field of play. Had he still been standing in the white paint, had he still been standing in the end zone, certainly you throw that flag. But he wasn't on the field anymore. That is considered off the field. It's well out of bounds. Is it off to one sideline or the other? No. But then by that same token, you could penalize any player that was jogging to the tunnel to go back to the locker room area if he didn't have his helmet on, because then you would be considering that whole area part of the field. And I don't want to harp on this for too long, because it was only one in a string of very bad calls by the officiating crew in this game. I mean, we talk about when Tavon Young picked off Eli Manning. On this play, though, there was blatant pass interference that you saw Young just bowl right through the receiver, knock him down, and then make the interception. Well, when you have to knock the receiver down to get to the ball, that is textbook pass interference. And you see the field judge reach for his flag, but before he pulls it, he just decides, it was incidental contact, no big deal. It wasn't incidental contact. He knocked him flat to the ground. I mean, it was textbook. At one point, we had DRC. He was called for pass interference that literally gave the Ravens a go-ahead touchdown. Well, the only place where you see any contact between the receiver and Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is back at about the 8-yard line. Both of them are kind of getting handsy with one another back and forth. And you see DRC kind of put his hand on the receiver's jersey, and you see the jersey kind of stretch a little bit. Didn't stop the receiver at all. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie simply had a better position on the ball, period. And yet, instead of that being the case, where you would then actually have had more likely a chance of an offensive pass interference in the end zone, they called defensive pass interference and said it was in the end zone, gave him first and 10 on the one. Or first and goal on the one, excuse me. That doesn't make any sense. If you're calling the penalty on where he put his hand on his chest, that was back at the 8-yard line. Meaning it would have been first and goal from the 8, not first and goal from the 1. Of course, they had a goal line. The Giants had a goal line stand before that. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. And unfortunately, when you're being forced by the officiating crew to defend that multiple times, it becomes rather difficult. And just to move on again, there were so many instances of blatant pass interference by the Ravens defenders in this game. It was just awful. I mean, even the commentators that were going over the game, even they had to admit there is a lot of very bad calls. As a matter of fact, one of them even said, "We're not sure which game these officials are watching." That's how, well, you know, when the broadcast announcers are saying there's something wrong, there's something really wrong. Now, I don't want to harp on that too much. I mean, the officiating throughout the NFL has been bad for a number of years, and it doesn't look as though it's going to get much better anytime soon. I mean, you're going to see this happen pretty much every game. Even if Odell Beckham plays a perfect game without any incident at all, they're probably going to look for an excuse to throw a flag on him. He's unfortunately garnered that type of attention since last year with his incident with Josh Norman. As a matter of fact, I forget his name now. He's the new face on First Take on ESPN since Skip Bayless has left for a non-cable gig. But he was actually trying to bring up this year against Josh Norman. I'm sorry, Odell Beckham Jr. played a flawless game in that game in terms of his attitude and his actions on the field. He did not draw any flags. He did not do anything out of the ordinary, and he was the consummate professional for that game. So, you know, I understand where they're coming from, but they have to stop. They have to start calling these games down the middle. I mean, I honestly thought, and I mentioned to some of the folks I was watching the game with, if this didn't straighten up, there was the strong possibility of a riot. I mean, the fans in the stands were getting very upset. It was obvious. I was afraid there was going to be trash or something thrown on the field at some of these officials for some of these calls. They were that bad. But moving on, like I said, I don't want to harp on this too long. I do want to touch a little bit on the Giants' defense and special teams. The defense looked a little haggard at times, which I can't blame them. I mean, the first half of that game, Ben McAdoo, he may have to think about passing off some of the play-calling responsibilities. The first half was atrocious. They gained no yards. I believe through the entirety of the first quarter and change, they only had the ball for 3 minutes. It was a matter of a fumble by Odell Beckham Jr., his one real mistake of the game, followed by a series of three and outs. And it looked really bad. Then the defense, you could see it. The defense was struggling. It was winded pretty quickly, which any defense is going to get at that point. And so it did give up a couple of big plays in that game. However, that big goal line stand held the Ravens with no points at all when they went forward on fourth and goal, held them out, not only held them out, but pushed them back 2 yards. That was great to see. JPP and Olivier Vernon, while they're not really gathering up the sacks like we want to see, they are stuffing the run very well. They still managed to get some pressure in on Flacco and make him throw some pretty bad passes. Batted some balls, did record a sack on him. The defense did. That was good to see. They, for the most part, they held the running game in check, held the Ravens to under 100 yards on the ground. I believe it was 87 yards. Not great, but also not something to complain about too awful much, considering the week before they gave up almost 150 yards on the ground. So that was much improved. Overall, it was good to see Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie back on the field. Can't wait to get Eli Apple back. There is also a report that Nat Berhe has finally passed his concussion protocols, so he will be back on the field as well, and that is a needed piece for that Giants secondary to really bring that back together. So if he's good to go this Thursday against the Rams, I think we might see a new defense out there, and I think we may have a much better chance at shutting down teams, better than what we've had in their passing games. Moving on quickly, though, to the special teams. before I move on to my pick for the week, which I know it's a little early. There's still some things that could develop. So I always reserve the right to pop in with a quick gut check and change my mind. But the special teams, I'm not sure what's going on, but Dwayne Harris seems to be calling a lot of fair catches lately. I'm not sure if that is, if that's what the special teams coach or Ben McAdoo is telling him to do, or if he's seeing something we're not, or perhaps thinks he's seeing something that's not there. But it's a little bit concerning. The punt coverage was very good on that side of the ball, but I'm a little worse. I mean, we brought in Dwayne Harris for his return skills, but it almost seems as though he might be a little gun-shy on making a return since his fumble a couple of weeks ago when he muffed the punt. But if that's the case, then I think we need to have somebody really step up, talk with him, get with him, and see if we can't get that worked out. I mean, I can't blame him if he's seeing something on that field that we can't see from where we're sitting at home. I can certainly understand that. But I hope it's not a matter of being gun-shy, because Dwayne Harris is an electrifying player with the football in his hands, and I really want to see more of him running that ball out, especially off of punts. That would be a great thing to see. Okay, moving on now, though, I'm going to go ahead and throw out my picks for the week, but as you know, I'm not going to put out the scores for these picks, only going to try out for a score with the Giants game. First, we have Thursday night's game. We have the Packers and Bears. Give me the Packers in this one. The Bears are just atrocious this year. Titans at the Colts. This is an interesting one, considering the Colts are coming off of that loss, and the Titans are coming off a barely win over the Browns. But I've got to give the edge to the Titans a little bit right here. I think they're just a better rounded team than the Colts in this. So give me the Titans in that one. We have the Saints at the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs in this one. That defense is better than what the Saints actually ran up against, which is an odd thing to say against Carolina. So give me the Chiefs in that one. Redskins at the Lions. The Lions are a hit or miss team. I don't think they have the weapons right now to put on a sustained game. I'm going to take the Redskins in this game. Vikings and the Eagles. I'm going to take the Eagles in this one. I know most people are going, what are you thinking? Why go with the Eagles? The Vikings, while they're a solid team, no doubt a solid team, and they have a fantastic defense, if the Eagles can manage to put up some points, the Vikings are not going to be able to keep up. They're just not built for it. Sam Bradford is still a decent quarterback, but they just don't have the weapons to put up points at will. The Eagles, on the other hand, do. So if they get up by a couple of scores, that's going to end the game for the Vikings. And I think the Eagles have the weapons to do so. I think the last couple of losses, I think you got to hope that they shrug that off. So give me the Eagles in that one. Bills and Dolphins, this one's kind of a no-brainer, especially after this last win that the Bills had, just crushing and destroying the 49ers. So give me the Bills over the Dolphins in that. Raiders and Jaguars, I'm going to take the Raiders all day. Yes, they had a really frustrating loss this last week, but they are head and shoulders better than the Jaguars, as far as I'm concerned. Browns and Bengals, I hate to say it. I mean, this is kind of a game of who cares, almost. You have the Bengals at 2-4. They're really looking like the Bungles of old. And you have the Browns at 0-6. And unfortunately, I think they fall to 0-7 here. And I'm going to take the Bengals there. Ravens and the Jets. Give me the Ravens all day long in this one. The Jets are a mess. An absolute mess. Yes, they've still got a decent defense. But that offense couldn't find its butt with both hands and a map. And especially if Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting out under center again, there's a solid chance that the Ravens come up with some more picks in this game. Chargers and Falcons. The Falcons have shown that they are able to put up points pretty successfully. So I'm going to take the Falcons over the Chargers in this one. Buccaneers and 49ers. Give me the Buccaneers. The Niners are just a disaster area, almost as bad as the Jets. This last loss to the 49ers had to the Bills is just embarrassing. Give me the Buccaneers in that one. They're a slightly better team than the Niners. Patriots and Steelers, I have to take the Patriots in this one. The Steelers, I think, might have a slightly better defense, but without Ben Roethlisberger under center, they're going to struggle on offense like we saw this week. So, unfortunately, you have to take the Patriots with that one. Seahawks and the Cardinals. I'm going to take the Cards in this. The Seahawks, I think, are overrated this year. I think, you know, with they're barely edging out a win this week. I think the Cards are able to put up more points than the Seahawks are going to be able to respond to. So give me the Cards there. Broncos and Texans. This is an interesting one. 4-2 teams. I am actually going to go with the Broncos in this one, however. I don't think they're going to continue on a I don't think they're going to get a three-game skid out of this. I think that they managed to turn it around. It's going to be a close one, but I think the Broncos do take that one. Now, we have 9:30 in the morning, Giants and Rams in London. Giants are technically considered the away team for this game, so it's technically Giants at the Rams. Now, as hit or miss as the Giants are, I think they are slightly better than the Rams are. Especially with if Nat Burhey comes back, if Eli Apple can make it back, that defense is going to be stout enough, I think, to keep the Rams from being able to score any major points. The Rams are really not built to put up big points right now, unfortunately. They just don't have the weapons for that. But the Giants, as we've seen, if Odell Beckham Jr. can go off, if we can, they can establish a little bit of a running game, which I really think they should take Will Tye, move him back there like a fullback. Move somebody back there like a fullback and break open a hole for one of these running backs to take off in. And for crying out loud, McAdoo, what is it with everybody and running away from Orleans Darkwa? When he is out there, he shows great flashes. You know, put Perkins and Darkwa out there in rotation with Jennings. Jennings is a great blocking back, but right now he's not getting any openings any more than anyone else is. Throw in a fullback of some kind. Like I said, whether it be Will Tye or one of your second-string offensive linemen, something like that, pop open a hole. Let Darkwa take off. You've seen the flashes from him. Let him have a chance. I'm not sure why we've continued this barring of Darkwa from the field that started with Tom Coughlin and moved to Ben McAdoo. Granted, we don't all see everything that the coaches see all the time, but if the kid gives you a chance to win, why wouldn't you go with him? That being said, I don't think that the Rams secondary, I don't even think the Rams defense is nearly as good as the Ravens defense is. And the Giants did manage to put up the points they needed to win. I think it's going to be a similar situation here. I'm going to say 24-14 Giants. And that I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that one, but I feel it in my gut like it's going to be something like that. All right, folks. Like I said, I, of course, always leave myself open the option to change my mind depending on any developments later in the week. This is still fairly early yet. But until that next time, until the next gut check, y'all have a good night and football on.